Today's shiur has been dedicated by a loyal listener from London as a zchus for refuah shleima for Yehuda Leib ben Basham. Our shiur today is Masechta Yuma Roshon, Masechta Tainis, Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amar Beis, four lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Chia. Hamhalch b'derech, if somebody's traveling. He shouldn't eat more mishnei raven than he eats when it's a hunger year. Then, as we're going to be learning now, during a time of hunger, people eat less. And therefore, says the Gemara, when you're traveling, you should eat only as much as you would eat in a hunger year. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what's the reason for so? Says the Gemara, Hoch b'targima, in Bavel they explain Mishum Mayonam. His stomach should not get upset if he's traveling and he will have eaten much before he traveled. He may get upset. But Marava Amri and Marava, they explain Mishum Mazoini. They're concerned that he will not have enough food for the duration of the trip. Ask the Gemara, my Benayu. What's the difference between these two explanations? Says the Gemara, Ikemenai the Yosef of Arba. If somebody is traveling on a boat, if the concern is that because of the travel, it may upset his stomach, so here that's not a concern because he's sitting comfortably in a boat. If the concern is that we're concerned that he's going to not have enough food, it doesn't make a difference how he's traveling. Inami the ka'ozo me avna v'avna. He's traveling from one city to another. If the concern is that the travel will cause his stomach to be upset, so it doesn't make a difference where he's traveling. There is that concern that the travel will upset his stomach. But if the concern is that he's not going to run out of food, there really isn't that concern because since he's traveling only to places that are well inhabited, there's enough food in all these places where he's traveling. Says the Gemara, Papa, ko parso, parso, for every parso that he traveled, ochel chodarifta, he ate one loaf of bread. The kasavar, he obviously held the concern is in shum mayonam, and therefore, since the Pash Pshat and the Gemara is, since Rapapa was a healthy person, and he was a person that was accustomed to eating a lot, he doesn't have to be concerned. The Mefarshim explained, why did the Gemara have to give two nafgaminas? Because according to the nafgamina that says that he's traveling in a boat, the Gemara said the nafgamina was that if he's traveling in a boat, he doesn't have to be concerned since he's sitting about his stomach, but he will be concerned about that he's going to run out of food. But sometimes, even traveling on a boat can cause that his stomach should be upset because of the seasickness. And that's why the Gemara came up with another nafgamina. So Rashi explains that since Rav Papa was a person who could eat a lot, he obviously held that we need not be concerned about stomach problems. He was able to deal with it. But I saw that there are other Mefarshim that say that actually Rav Papa also ate less than he normally would eat. In fact, I saw that the Mefarshim suggest that Rav Papa normally ate four loaves per meal, and what he ate here was a quarter of what he normally ate. And that's, the word is Reva. The word Reva, Resh Vez Ayin, is the same spelling as Ra'avon, Ra'av. The Ben Yoyada says that what the Gemara is saying is that when you're traveling, you should eat a quarter of what you would normally eat. And that's why he ate one bread instead of normally his diet would be four rolls per person. Says the Gemara, as we continue discussing how a person should behave when he's traveling. So says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Rav, Kol Amarav Atzmai B'Shnei Re'avin. Somebody who keeps himself hungry when Klal Yisrael is suffering, when there's a time that people aren't eating that much, nitzah mimisa mishuna, he will be saved from a mitzah mishuna. Shnema, parav Padach v'mavis. Says the Gemara that by being hungry, you will be saved. Says the Gemara, may Rabbi Boilei, if the Pasuk is meaning to save, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us from hunger, it should say, may Rav, Ella hachkama, b'scha shemarv atzma b'shnei ravin, because the person withholds from eating during such a time, nitzel b'misa mishuna. And here too, the Mishnah Berurah says, what is the proper diet when one should hold himself back from eating when there's a difficult times? He should eat, this is the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tuf Kaf Ayin Dalet Sif Katan Ches, he should eat a quarter of what he normally eats. And I saw the reason is because every person is made up of four elements: Eish, fire, ruach, air, wind, mayim, water, and ofer, sand. All of them, they need to be nourished. But the ruach, the eish, and the mayim could subsist without eating. So therefore, when it's a difficult time, we should not eat, even though normally, of course, we're supposed to eat. But the offer element of the human being can never survive without eating. And therefore, even though it's difficult times, the Gemara is saying they have to continue eating even during these difficult times, for otherwise the person will not be able to exist. The Pasuk says, the Gemara says, that a person who does so will be saved mimisa mashuna. But the Ben Yoyada points out, if we look at the wording of the Pasuk says, padacha mimavis. Why does it say mimisa mashuna? So he explains, unfortunately, people are going to pass away. And since, unfortunately, people are going to pass away, we can't say, he explains, that just because you'll control yourself and not overeat in the time when there's a hunger in the world, you'll be saved from death. Because the person, it may be at a time that this person has to leave the world. But Misa Mishuna is something that could be controlled. And the Gemara is saying that this person who behaved properly, that was part of the Tzibur, and as I saw, Rabbi Aaron Kotler says that the entire way to look in this Gemara is that a person who participates with the tzibur is creating a kiddush Hashem, and a person who separates from the tzibur is creating a chilah Hashem. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that by creating a kiddush Hashem, by being concerned about other people, that is how you will be saved, Baruch Hashem, from a misa mishuna. Amrei Shlokish, along the same line. A person is not supposed to have relations during a hunger time. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, well, Yosef Yula Shnei Bonim. Yosef had two children, B'terem Tov Shnei Sarov. Why does the Torah have to tell us that it was B'terem Shnei Sarov? The Torah is telling us that specifically before the hunger came, did he have relations, not afterwards. Tana, however, says the Braisa, Chasu Chaybonim, somebody who did not yet have children, Misham Shmitas Mishnei Ravim, they're allowed to have relations even during that time, because they have to fulfill the mitzvah of Peri Rivya. So Rashi explains the reason a person should not have relations during such a time is because if everybody is suffering, this person should suffer as well. Another pshat that the Miri suggests, he quotes a Yerushalmi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is destroying the world because he brought the hunger to the world, this person should not be doing the opposite by trying to have children. However, say the Mefarshim, and Taisus right away says that this Isser is only a Midas Chassidus. It's something that should be commended, but it's not halachically required. Because we find, he says, that Yocheved was born as they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. So, as they arrived in Eretz Mitzrayim. So, obviously, it was hunger years. And how did Levi have Yocheved? It must be that it's only a Midas Chassidus. However, the Sfasemis points out that this that Taisus differentiates before or after Midas Chassidus is only before Kabbalah Satayra. But once the Torah was given, this became the halacha. So if that's the question, ask the Sfas, if that's the halacha, ask the Sfas Emes, we know that the Shvatim were Mekayim Kala Torah Kula. They kept the entire Torah. So if they kept the entire Torah, how did Levi not keep this as well? So the Ran answers, a beautiful explanation. The Ran says, we know that the Shvatim, Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim, really had enough food. It was just Lama Tisro that they didn't want that the world should think that they had enough food. If that's the case, that's why Levi, knowing that it wasn't a hunger for them and for him and the Shvatim, was allowed to have relations. Yosef, on the other hand, was not aware of the financial situation of his brothers, and he thought that they were suffering, and that's why he did not have children. Another shot that the Mefarshim suggests, very much in line with the Gemara, is that the Gemara says that a person is not allowed to have relations during the Shnas Ravin, but if he didn't have children, then he is allowed to have relations. So the Shvus Yaakov explains that until that point, Levi only had sons. And in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Pruvu, you have to have a boy and a girl. And because of that, Levi was still having relations in order to be able to have his daughter Yocheved. Yosef, even though he explains the Torah doesn't say so, Yosef, he said, already had a daughter. And since Yosef had a daughter already, he had fulfilled the mitzvah Pruvu. And since he had fulfilled the mitzvah Pruvu, that's why Yosef said, I should stop having relations because it's such a time that the entire world is suffering. So the Pashup Pshat is when the Gemara says Chasuchei Bonim are allowed to have relations because they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Pruvu. And the Rishash says, how do we determine Chasuchei Bonim? And according to the Rishash, it would be a very different halacha. According to Rishash, we know that the Gemara says that if somebody is married for 10 years and he hasn't had children, he should divorce his wife. The definition of Chasuchei Bonim according to Rishash is not if you didn't have a boy or a girl and you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah Pruvu. The mitzvah, the Chasuchei Bonim means somebody who didn't have children at all. If somebody didn't have children at all, and therefore he would, under normal circumstances, perhaps need to divorce his wife, that's the individual that could have relations under such circumstances. But an individual who had children, even though he didn't have a boy and a girl, would have to avoid it. I saw that there are other Rishonim, the Magen Mishnah, seems to differentiate three categories. He says, Chasuchei Bonim, somebody who didn't have children at all, Chayovim, are obligated to have relations, even though it's a hunger time. Someone who had either a boy or a girl, or a number of boys or a number of girls, but did not have a boy and a girl, may have relations, but is not obligated to have relations. And somebody who already was Mekayim the Mitzvah Pruvu, that he had a boy and a girl, may not have relations during such a time. Tan Rabbanan, Bizman Shi Yisrael Shurim B'Tzar, if Klai Yisrael is suffering, or Pirish Echemahem, and he separates himself from everyone else, Bo'an Shnei Malach HaShor Shem Lavan La'odam, each one of us have two malachim that escort us, and they put their hands on his head. This person who separated himself from everyone else, Al Yira ben Nechemes Tzibur, will not be zoicha to have the Yeshua together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So the Magen Avraham says, what the Gemara here means is that if there's a time that's difficult for a community, and somebody says, I'm going to leave the community, I'm not going to be part of what they're doing, that's what the Gemara is referring to. However, I did see that the Magen Avraham does continue to say that that's only in a situation where the person, by remaining where he is, could be of help to everybody else, to everyone else who's there. But if there's no one, if there's no nothing that he could do when he's there, by remaining there, he's not obligated to remain there. Tanya Idach, we learn in another brisa, says the Gemara. B'zman she'tzi b'tzari b'tzar. If there's a time where the Klal Yisrael is suffering, al yamadim elech lebeisi v'oichel v'eshter v'shom alayich nafshi, a person's not allowed to say, I'm going to not be concerned, I'm going to live my life. The Moisa came, and if a person acts in such a way, all of a cost of Oymid, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, he says, sauce of a simcha. He says, I'm going to enjoy myself. Horeg baka v'shchay tzayin, I'm going to kill animals. Echa basa shtay shayin, I'm going to eat meat and drink wine. Ocha v'shasa kamacha namas. Because I don't care what's going to be. Maksib basrei, v'nigla ba'ozne Hashem tzavakais, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes an announcement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will never forgive this person. The person has to be part of the tzibur. And Masha explains, even though this person is indeed in a situation where whatever is happening doesn't really harm him, it doesn't make a difference. A person has to be part of the tzibur. And if the rest of the tzibur, if the rest of the tzibur is suffering, then he has an obligation to act along with them. And if they're suffering, act that way as follows. Continues the Gemara. However, at kan midas beninim, that these are people that are maybe not being part of the rest of the tzibur, but are concerned that death is inevitable, and they have to be concerned of that. How did the Rishoyim say, bring me wine, and let me drink old wine. He says, today, tomorrow, I'm just going to drink. I'm not going to be concerned about what's going to be. Maxibus, right? Says the Gemara. What does it say in the Pasuk about somebody who behaves in such manner? Hatzadik oved, ve'ein is samalev, kibinei rod nafa tzadik. When a tzadik passes away, people don't pay attention. Why? But the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes tzadik away is because the Rishoyim are acting in such a terrible way. And since the Rishoyim acting in such a terrible way, he shouldn't have to see what's going on in the world. Another pshat that Rashi explains, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that people are acting in such a way, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is that this generation is in a serious place. It's in a very difficult place, and I have to take the tzaddik back to me that he should bring Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. So the Ritva explains, what is the attitude of the Beninim, that the Gemara is differentiating between the Beninim and Rishoyim? It says the Beninim are people that are concerned about other people as well. But even though they're concerned about other people as well, they don't recognize that we need to do tshuva. Because if we do tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. They don't have that recognition and that appreciation. And Rabbi Aaron Cutler takes this a step further, as we mentioned before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk says regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imay Anochi B'tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu participates, Kaviyachol, when we're B'tzar. If one Jew, however, can't live that way, and he's not concerned about other Jews suffering, so it means that not only is he not concerned about other Jews, he's also not concerned about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For as we just explained, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in tzar when Klal Yisrael is in tzar. And because of that, the person who is so callous not to be concerned about the tzar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves to be punished. The Shaar Tshuva explains that what a person's supposed to do when we see that there's a situation of Chil Hashem, a person, which is what's happening when Klal Yisrael is in Tzoros, he's supposed to do the opposite. He's supposed to try to be Mekadosh Hashem. And he says, we all know there are always opportunities to be Mekadosh Hashem. He says, but the biggest way to do a Kiddush Hashem is by learning Torah. And if somebody sits and learns Torah, that brings a Kiddush Hashem, and that's the way the Kadosh Baruch Hu will stop the Tzoros. Says the Gemara, what should a person do? El yitzar adam im tzibur. A person should participate with the tzibur. Shekei metzinim Moshe Rabbeinu. As we find Moshe Rabbeinu, shetzir atzmayim tzibur. He was together with the rest of the tzibur when they were suffering. Shenema videi Moshe kveidim. V'yichu even v'sim v'tacht v'yesh v'leo. When they went to war, Moshe Rabbeinu's hands got heavy and he sat on a stone. Says the Gemara, why do you have to sit on a stone? Couldn't he sit on a pillow or on a stool? Al kach amar Moshe, Hoyel Yisrael shurim b'tzar. Klal Yisrael is suffering. Af ani eim b'tzar. I will suffer along with them. V'kol b'tzar atzmei b'tzibur. Whoever participates in the tzibur with the tzibur tzir zoych v'ra'im nechem b'tzibur. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, why should Moshe Rabbeinu be excluded, that he should not be together with the rest of the Tsar of Klal Yisrael, that the Pasuk gives him so much credit? So one pshat that I saw is that whom did the Malaikim attack? The Malaikim attacked the Erev Rav, who were not covered by the Anan, Ananei HaKavod. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was protected by the Ananei HaKavod. So Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, this doesn't have anything to do with me. But that was not the attitude of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one pshat that I saw. The another pshat that I saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu had the tzchus of Torah. And as we just discussed a moment ago, the tzchus of Torah is so powerful that it protects us. So Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, I have the tzchus of Torah. And that's not enough. A third pshat that I saw from the Yad Yecheskel is that certainly Moshe Rabbeinu in his heart felt the tsar that Klal Yisrael was feeling. But that isn't enough. Moshe Rabbeinu said it's not just to feel it. You have to show it. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu refused to sit on a chair. He only sat on a stone to show that he's part of Klal Yisrael. Shema Yoyma Adam. But maybe somebody's going to say, that who could tell me what's the way I'm acting? Says the Gemara, a person's, the stones of his home, the beams of his home, tell us who you are. Shnamah, as the pasuk says, ki even mi ez mikir tizayk, the stone will cry out, the chapis meitz yinanu, and the wood will cry out that who you are. Says the Gemara, Rav Shela Amar, shnei malach esharsam lavan lal adam, as we mentioned earlier, every person has these two malachim that escort him. Hey, me'idim alav, they will say testimony. Shnamar, ki malachav yitzav alach l'shmarach b'chol druchechem. And I saw that the Mashah explains, what does the Gemara mean with the two malachim? He says that when we do mitzvahs, we create malachim. And chas v'shalom, when we do averis, it's vice versa. And what the Gemara, he says, means to say here is that the type of malachim that you created, if you created good malachim, it's obvious that you were doing mitzvahs. And if you created bad malachim, it's obvious that you were doing averis. That is the proof who you are. Chit gomer, neshmasa shal adam me'ida alav. The person's own neshama will say who he is. Shenemar, meshevis chakecha shma pischei picha. The one that's in your system, the neshama that's in every one of us, will say who we are. A person's own limbs will say edis, shenemar ve'etem edai nom Hashem. So the Mashah explains that the neshama is going to say on what you speak. And I saw that the Novominsky Rebbe in his Sefer Tferes Ish explains that every person is made, if you look at a person's life, he has machshavas, he has thoughts, he has maisa, he does actions, and he has dibur, what he talks. So he says the neshama speaks about his machshava, the avrim speak about his maisim, and the avnei besoi speak about his dibur. They heard the words that he said in this place, in his home. Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Keil Amunah Vein Olam, Ein Ovel. Keil Amunah, Shem Shenefraim Rishoyim Lo'olam Haba, Afilo Aver Kalash Oysim. Every Aver that Rishoyim did, they will be punished in the next world. Kach nefram min atzadikim ba'olam hazeh al aver kalam shoysim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the tzadikim in this world so that when they come to the next world, they should no longer have any averus. Vein ovo, shem shem shalom tzchol tzadikim lo'olam haba afil ha-mitzvah kal shoysim. For every mitzvah they perform, they're going to get tzchar. Kach mishalom tzchol rishoyim ba'olam hazeh afil ha-mitzvah kal shoysim. If they've done any mitzvahs, they're going to get schar for it. Tzadik v'yashahir, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 100% honest and nothing will be forgotten. It says the Gemara, Amar b'shas p'tarasha sh'odnu l'beis olamai. When a person leaves in the world, ko ma'isav nefratim l'fonav. Everything he's done is said to him. V'amil l'kach v'kach asisa b'mokim ploini b'yoyim ploini. You did this in this place in this day. V'u'oymer hein. And he says yes. V'amil l'chassoyim. And they tell him to sign v'chassoyim. Sh'nemar b'yad kol adam yichdam. Everything will be signed. V'lo'oyd el shematzdik lo'ev zadin. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes judging him, he says, "Omar, he's going to admit Yofadantani, Kaim Laman Titzak Bhagudvarecha." So they saw that the Ben Yoyada explains why does the Gemara have to say Kachasis Bamakim Ploini Biyoim Ploini. So he explains that when a person does something good in a certain place, that place where he did it becomes infused with Kedusha. And therefore when the next time somebody is in that place, it's easier for him to do a mitzvah because he's performing in a mitzvah that's infused with Kedusha. Vice versa, when somebody does Chas V'Shalom and Aveira, the place becomes infused with Tumah. And since it becomes infused with Tumah, it becomes easier to do an Aveira. So not only will the person be held responsible for the mitzvahs that he did or the averus he did, but he's going to be held responsible for what he did, what he caused to the place where he was doing the mitzvah, the avera. But then he says, what's pshat b'yoyim ploini? He says that every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world, and he looks at the world, is the world mostly good or is the world mostly bad? And a person, when he does a mitzvah, he tips the scales of the entire world to the side of good. And vice versa, if Chas V'Shalom, somebody does an Aveira, he tips the scale of the world to the other side. And that's why, B'yoyim Ploini, they look at every day, and what did that day happen? And I saw a very interesting pshat from the Sefer Enei Yitzchak. He says that when a person comes to the Olam HaEmes, they sit him down, and they start discussing, if a person did this mitzvah, what schar does he deserve? If Chas V'Shalom, a person did this aveira, what oynish, what punishment does he deserve? And the person says, well, this is my opinion. And then they take out and they say, well, you did those mitzvahs and you did those averas. And that's what the Gemara means. B'yad kol adam yachdam, a person himself will be the one to decide, what should be happening to him based on what he said, when he was asked these questions. Amish Muklayosh Matinus, if somebody fasts, Nikra Chayta, he's considered somebody Dura Navera. Says the Gemara, what is Shmuel based on? What is Shmuel's opinion based on? Savakai Tano. The Tanya, Rabbi Loza Kfar Barebi Oimer. Matam Aloimer, the pasuk says by the Nazir, Vasa Koyin Echel Chatz Vechel Oila, V'chipa Lov Meshachot Al Nefesh. So the question is, we know a Nazir is an individual that accepted upon himself to be a Nazir, not to drink wine, not to become Tomei. So the question is, V'chi Beza Nefesh Chotaze, what type of a sin did this person do? Ella, the fact is, Shetzir Atzmei Menayayin, that the fact that he just said, I'm not going to drink wine, that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to drink wine, of course, in proper moderation. And for that, he's considered a Baal Aveira. Says the Gemara, the Loi Dvarim Kal V'Chomer, Mash Zeh, Shloi Tzir Atzmei El Men Hayayin, the only thing that he held himself back is from wine, is Nikra Chayta, HaMetzar Atzmei Kol Dover Dover. If somebody holds himself back for anything, Nikra Chayta, Alachas Kama Kama is called the Baal Aveira. And here we see that you don't have to hold yourself back from everything. just holding yourself back from one thing is considered that you're doing a Baal Aveira. Of course, the Mefarshim ask that we do find that person supposed to fast. So Mefarshim answer, if there's a valid reason why you should fast, so then you're allowed to fast. If there is no good reason to fast, then you shouldn't fast. Or there's a nafkamina between who you are. Some people are tzaddikim, so they should fast. They're doing it with the right intention. Other individuals aren't that madrega. Those are individuals who should not fast. In the Gemara, I saw uses the words hayoshe b'tainus, and it's very much consistent with what we just learned. What does the Gemara say? Hayoshe b'tainus. The Gemara said hamasanam, and the answer is if somebody fasts and it doesn't have any influence on him, it doesn't make him better, so he has no right to fast. If you're betainus, if you're fasting, but you remain hayoshev, you remain in that same category, then that's not something that's going to be appreciated. If, however, you're going to fast and you're going to become better, then you're allowed, then it's fine. Rebbe Lezer disagrees, and he says somebody who fasts is nikra kodesh, is called holy. Shenema kodesh yeh gadol pesa roshay. So we see that a nazir is called a kodesh. So comments Rebbe Lezer. Ma zesh loitzir atzmai el medavachad. The only thing he held himself back from is wine. Nikra kodesh hametzar atzmai mekol davar. Somebody who does holds himself back from eating, certainly alach v'kama v'kama is called a kodesh. Ask the Gemara, but Shmuel, who called this person a chayta, what's he going to do with this pasuk? Ul Shmuel v'kir kodesh, says the Gemara, ku agudel perikai. The hair that he's supposed to grow, as we said, a nazir is not supposed to take a haircut, that is considered kodesh. But not eating is not kodesh. Rebbe Lazar, what does he do with the pasuk that is called chayte? Answers the Gemara, who the sov nafshe? Which nazir are we calling a chayta? He says the nazir who should have remained tar and became tamei. Such a nazir is a baal aveira. But a nazir who accepted upon himself a naziris, such a person is a person that is considered a kaddish. And I saw that they explained in the name of Chaim Shmulevitz, what makes the nazir kaddish? The nazir's kedusha is based on kabbalah. The kedusha is not that he doesn't eat, as our Gemara says, that he doesn't drink wine, or he doesn't take a haircut. The fact that he accepted upon himself that I want to do better, I want to grow in my kedusha, that's what makes the person into a kaddish, and that's what Rebbe Lezer says is the way a person is supposed to live. A person is supposed to live with kabbalas, that he accepts upon himself, I'm going to do better, I'm going to be better. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rebbe Lezer Hachi, is Rebbe Lezer's opinion that it's commendable to be in a fast? A person should look at his body as if it's holy. It says, the Gemara, a person should view himself as holy and treat his body with holiness and with great respect. So how is he saying here that we could disregard the person's body and be allowed to fast? Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Had the Matzil Tzuri Nafshi, somebody who could fast and deal with it, so and it'll make him grow in Kedusha, should fast. Had the Lai Matzil Tzuri Nafshi, but if somebody who doesn't have that ability should not fast. But then I saw that the Nesiv Shalom has a different pshat. He says that the Ravid says that what is even a greater level of fasting than just not eating for a day. He says, if you're in the middle of eating something delicious and you have a plate full of plenty delicious food and you stop eating that food, says the Ravid, that is the greatest tainus that you could yourself have. So says the Nesiv Shalom, that's what the Gemara means to say. If somebody, while he's eating, he shows the self-control that he would like to eat more, but he holds himself back and he doesn't eat more, that's considered somebody who's kaddish. But somebody who's not able, who doesn't do it and just indulges, that's not the person who's called Kaddish. But the Pash Pshat, as we said a minute ago, is that it means if somebody could withstand the fast, so then he's considered a Kaddish. But if he's an individual who cannot withstand the fast, then he's not considered a Kaddish. And a person's not allowed to be Metzara Atzmai. A person is not allowed to hold something back from himself if he can. There's an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. And that is, we know there's a halach of Tzar Baal Chaim. According to many opinions, the Isser of Tzar Baal Chaim is the Isser Daraisa. Because the Torah says that if one sees an animal who's overloaded, we have an obligation to unload the animal. Prika, we have to unload the animal that it shouldn't be carrying a weight that's too much for it. And the question is the din of Tzar Baal Chaim apply to human beings as well? And the Shayas HaTshuvas B'Tzel HaChochma, Chelik Dalet Simen Kuf Chaf Hei, says that our Gemara is a raya that Tzar Baal Chaim doesn't only apply to animals. The Tzar Baal Chaim applies to human beings as well. Because he says, we see how the Gemara goes so out of its way to teach us how a person has to take care of himself and that a person has to be careful not to be Metzar himself. So he says, if we see that that's the way a human being, that we see that the Gemara is so concerned that a person should not put himself in a place that he can't take, so we see that Tzar Baal Chaim doesn't only apply to animals, it applies to human beings as well. Rish Lakish Amar, a person who fasts is nikra chassid, is considered a chassid. Shenemar, goyim on nefesh ish chesed, voich hashara echzori. Somebody who takes care of his body, gives it what it needs, that person is a bad person. But somebody who holds back because he's worried about his Averis, that person is fine. Says the Gemara of Sheshis Barbarav, the Yosef Batanesa, somebody who sits in Tainus, Leishiv Kal B'Sherusay, he is completely against fasting, and he says that he should, it's as if he gave his dog to eat. Somebody who gave his dog to eat, doesn't give you any schar, as if here too, don't hold back. So the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, it depends what is your purpose in fasting. If your purpose in fasting is to grow in Avodas Hashem, then it's fantastic. And you could withstand it, and it won't cause bittul Torah, it won't cause bittul mitzvahs. Such a person has every right to fast. But if a person is only fasting because without the proper motive, such a person, when he fasts, says the Gemara, is not behaving the way Chazal wanted us to behave. And that person, he's only fasting, it's considered he's only fasting because he doesn't want to spend the money on food. And a person whose entire reason for fasting is because he doesn't want to spend money on food, that's as if he gave the dog his food. The Torah doesn't give much credit to such an individual's behavior. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Ein Tanis Tzibur B'Bavel. As we're going to learn, there are special halachas when we speak about a Tanis Tzibur. The halacha is that in a Tanis Tzibur, we're already not allowed to eat from the night before the fast. We're not allowed to wear shoes. But in Bavel, as we've learned a number of times in our Masechta, Bavel was a country that had much moisture. So since Bavel was a country that had adequate moisture, they don't have to have those type of tanesim. And the seriousness of a tainas tzibur doesn't apply in Bavel. Ella, the only time we have a tainas tzibur is Tisha B'Av Bavad. Tisha B'Av applies in Bavel as well. And therefore, the halacha is that at all fast days, we fast. We only begin the fast day in the morning, except for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Although, there is a very interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. We just clearly indicated that the fast day begins in the morning. We only have to begin fasting in the morning. The question that we need to discuss is Shivas Batamas. So you know that Shivas Batamas is the beginning of the 3 weeks. And the fast day, as we just said, only begins in the morning. So the question is, is the night of Shivas Batamas already considered like the 3 weeks? And are we allowed to make a wedding or the night, or are we not? So Ramosha, in the Shalos Tshuvos Igros Moshe, discusses this in a number of places, and he says l'chatchila one should not make a wedding that night, but b'di'evid, if there's no other choice, we're allowed to make a wedding that night. However, there are other paiskim. The Eish Avram for the B'chach Rav is very strict, and he says we shouldn't make a wedding on that night, and even if it's Friday, we can't make a wedding once it's been a shmoshes. And so too is the opinion as the of the Mayadim Vizmanim, that the halacha is that even though, as our Gemara just said, when it comes to fasting, in Chutz Laaretz, we begin fasting only in the morning. That's only as far as the halacha of fasting is concerned. But the fast day really begins the night before. And therefore, already from the night of Shavuos Batamis, it's considered a full flat, it's already considered Bein HaMetzarim, and one should not make a wedding. Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba, Amrei Shlokish. Ein Tam Chochem Roshoy Leish Batanis. A Tam Chochem should not fast. Nei Shumamad B'Melech Shemayim. By fasting, he's not able to learn. And since he's not able to learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more interested in his learning than in his fasting. And the Mishnah Brura, in Simen Tuf Kuf Ayin Aleph, Sivkot and Beis and Gimel, says that the person who is considered Talmud Chacham. So he says, anybody who sits and learns Bezman Azeb is considered in that category a Talmud Chacham. And says the Mishnah Berurah, V'risi Kosa B'Seifa Echad, K'sha'odem Roitz L'Snadiv Tanis. There's a person who wants to donate that he should be fasting. Toiv Yoser She'yikabel Tanis Min Adibur. He should accept that he's not going to speak Dvar Metalim, M'shemekabel Lo Min Achila, versus holding back from eating. When one holds back from speaking what he shouldn't be speaking, nobody will be affected. He doesn't get weakened. Ukenza, he says, Kosva Groba Grosoi, the Gro writes, how should a person treat himself? Not by fasting and not by hurting himself. By holding back his mouth from speaking what you don't have to speak, and holding back tavasov, what just having things that you want to have. That is something that's most appropriate. And the Paiskim say that certainly somebody who is not just a Talmud Chacham, but somebody who is a Melamed, somebody teaches children Torah, so he certainly should not be fasting, because he won't be able to do his job as he's supposed to if he's fasting. Another pshat that I saw is that there's nothing that is a better antidote than the Torah. So if the purpose of fasting is that he should have an antidote against the Yetzer Hara, Torah, learning Torah, and certainly teaching Torah is the best antidote against the Yetzer Hara. We learned in the Mishnah Daf Yoram and Aleph that when Yud Zayim Achezvim came and didn't start to rain, the Yechidim start to fast. Says the Gemara, and the Mishnah said, in these fast days, Oichlan V'Shoichlan Mechashecha. Once the night begins, you're still allowed to eat. The fast of these Yechidim only begins in the morning. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, Yochid Shekivel of Tanis. If a Yochid accepted upon himself a Tanis, is the Alocha, Afil Och V'Shasu Kol Alayla, even if he ate all night until the morning, Lemachar, the next day, he could already say, I mispal tfilas tainas. He could already say a neinu by shachris, even though he has just begun to fast. However, lom de tenaisai, if he, the day after his fast day, he didn't eat the entire night, lemach en mispal tainas, the next day he can't say a neinu, because as we're going to learn, he didn't accept that that day should be a fast day. And our loch is that any voluntary fast day is only considered a voluntary fast day if you were kabbal tainus the day before, as we're going to learn in our next Shira Mitzvah Shem. We said that what the Gemara means, Rashi says, it means saying Anayinu b'shachrus. But Tosfos says that one should not say Anayinu b'shachrus, only the Baal Tefillah says Anayinu b'shachrus, because we have to be concerned that, the Rashba explains, that since people are much weaker nowadays than they used to be, we need to be concerned that even though the person accepted upon himself to fast, maybe he's not going to be able to make it. And that's why we wait to say Anenu until later in the day. The Baal Tefillah, who's saying for the entire Tzibur, however, could say Anenu b'shachros as well. Ask the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yosef, Micah Sover Rav Huna. What did Rav Huna mean to say that if somebody was long b'taneisoy, he doesn't say Tefillah's Tainus? Says the Gemara, does he hold Sfirlei Amos Anim Shos, that only when you fasted a whole day is it considered a Tainus? However, here, since he didn't accept upon himself, as I said a moment ago, the tainus before, it's not considered a tainus. That it is considered a tainus. However, there's a new halacha. The special tefillah of Anenu may not be said. That even if though you didn't accept upon yourself a tainus, it does have the halachic status of a tainus. And moreover, Hamasana l'shos mispal tefilas tanis. You could even say Anenu. Shani hacha deikashos delayla delakibel alayu. The night that he didn't eat, he didn't intend not to fast. And since he didn't intend not to fast, he just ended up not eating. It's not considered a fast day. Says the Marukva ilu leginzik. Marukva came to the city Ginzik. Boymenei, and they asked him, Masana l'shos or ain't Masana l'shos? Is a tanis shos considered a tanis? He did not know the answer. Then they asked him another question. Can kanim shanochrim, the barrels made out of earthenware of the nochrim that were used for yayin nesach, asurim, may they be used by us or not? And he didn't know the answer to that either. But the next question was, what did Moshe Rabbeinu used to, we know during the Shemei Meluim, Moshe Rabbeinu did the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. What type of garments did he wear? And to this too, by have a biyodei. Ozal v'shabay medrasha. So he went to the yeshiva to get the answer. Amalei hilchasa, misan al-shos. That a tainus shos is considered a tainus. And you could say tefillas, misbalan tefillas tainus, but as he was going to learn, as long as there was a Kabbalah's tainus before. Vilchasa, after 12 months and when they weren't used, matarim, even if they didn't go through a hechsher, because whatever belia there is was already completely dried up after 12 months. And what did he wear? He wore a chaluk lovin, a white garment. Says the Gemara of Kahana Masni, the chaluk lovin she'enlo imra. It was a white garment that had no hem. And I saw two pshatim why it didn't have a hem. Rashi explains, it didn't have a hem that nobody should chas v'shalom be able to accuse him that he was hiding coins in the hem. And as the pasuk says, the yisum nakim meshem yisrael. We have to do things that make that we are completely above reproach, that no one should even be able to accuse us of having done anything wrong. Another pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu was only doing the avodah for these 7 days. After these 7 days, the kuna was given to Aaron a kohen, and Moshe Rabbeinu will never do the avodah again. A garment that we intend to use and reuse, we may make a stronger garment. But Moshe Rabbeinu's garment was only used for 7 days. Since it was only used for 7 days, it didn't have to be such a sturdy, strong garment because it's not going to be used again.